What do you believe? Each week in the worship at Daleville Christian Church, we have an affirmation of our faith. This one from 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 13 and 14. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's word for today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This is really a message about technology and love. The Bible says almost nothing about technology, although I can show you where the Bible does talk about technology. The Bible has a lot more to say about love. So maybe we should ask ourselves, between technology and love, which one do we need more help with? Yes, the answer is love. You and I, our neighbors, even our families, our entire country, and also the whole world needs help with love. Here's an example. I'll try to shorten the story. Perhaps you had a similar growing up experience. Came the time in my young life that my parents needed to address the talk about sex. My mother began, as I later discovered many parents began the sex talk, with these words, "When a man and a woman love each other very much." When a man and a woman love each other very much, babies are made. When two people love very much, there are children. Hold that thought. Here's the latest news headlines, announced right after last Thanksgiving last year. A Chinese researcher claims that he helped make the world's first genetically edited babies. Twin girls born this month whose DNA he said he altered with a powerful new tool capable of rewriting the very blueprint of life. So let me make clear that you shouldn't do that. It's wrong. That kind of research is illegal in the United States and plenty of other countries. But it would be wrong even if it was legal. DNA changes can pass to future generations, and it risks harming other genes. This scientist might know something about these twin girls, but he knows nothing about any future children these children give birth to. And in 20 years, when they can have children, this scientist may well be dead. But beyond that, the children are independent human beings, self-determined. This work cannot be undone. And while we are on the subject, notice these twins didn't get started because a man and a woman love each other very much. Me? I see trouble ahead. Will someone love these twin girls? I certainly hope so. I can hope that someone already loves them. The scientist who achieved this scientific breakthrough did not happen to mention whether he loved these girls or not. He didn't mention if he was going to raise them as his own children. Last I checked, this male scientist did not also build himself a womb for the purpose of carrying these twins to term. To me, this man and his scientific breakthrough are beginning to sound more and more irresponsible. Yes, I know what the scientist wanted to do. The scientist wanted to do good. He wanted those girls to be able to resist disease. Like we make corn and soybeans resistant to disease. But those are plants. And some people are not sure about those crops either. Will those crops hurt the food chain? We don't think so, but remember we developed and used DDT to kill bugs and pests that were hurting the crops and humans? Come to find out that DDT not only killed the bugs and pests, it killed the birds that ate those bugs and pests. It took human beings about 20 years to go from awarding DDT the Nobel Prize because DDT fought disease, to being banned because it caused cancer. We're still studying the effect of DDT on human health and found it can still increase the risk of cancer in 2017, some of the latest research. We can ask this question, and as people who follow Jesus and read God's word, where is the love? Or in North Carolina, they would say, where's the love, y'all? Where is the love? Can love solve these problems? Many days I'm just not sure love can solve much. Can love prevent these problems? And the short answer is yes. But love is an answer, even if it isn't the answer, and love is a good answer. The Apostle Paul said it this way, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. A simplistic way to say it is this: it's never wrong to do the right thing. Or from our vacation Bible school years ago, one I still remember and repeat often, doing what God wants you to do will always be the best for you. Doing what God wants you to do will always be the best for you. But people have trouble with love. You realize that you and I are concerned about random violence, but law enforcement knows that most violence, many deaths and murders, can be attributed to people who know each other. Sometimes they are married to each other, or they are family relatives. Remember the shooter in Texas who murdered people during a worship service? It was a church the shooter had attended before. That gunman, accused of the worst mass murder in Texas history, was part of a family feud. It's believed that the killer hoped that day to shoot his mother-in-law in that church. She was not in attendance that day. The school shooter in Noblesville knew his teacher and his fellow students. The most recent murderer killed 5 people in Louisiana, and that qualifies as a mass murder and a mass shooting. The murderer has confessed he killed his parents and a family that took him in. Child deaths in our state are most frequently not accidents or murders, Children, at least in our state, one-third of the deaths are dying from neglect by family, caregivers, and parents. A failure of love? Yes. This may be another surprise. Of the 4,421 injury deaths, that covers a span of recent years, 363 died from homicide, 941 died by suicide. Some of us claim that these also are a failure of love at some level. When our Lord Jesus says, love others as you love yourselves, suicide would be a failure of love. The Gospel of John put it perhaps better for our day and age. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you, Jesus said, you must love one another. And Jesus added something. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, by quoting these horrible statistics to you, I am not suggesting that you and I are directly responsible for these statistics. I'm not saying that the church or the churches are responsible for these losses of life. I do point out and want to point out that violence is almost always relational, between people who are related, a place where love might blossom, or even just tolerance might blossom. If all of these people would just tolerate each other, we would reduce the murders and the deaths. But our Lord Jesus, whom we claim did give us this command, love one another. And today the church is in a month of love, February, when we remember a follower of Jesus for no other reason than love, Saint Valentine. We know almost nothing about him. But somehow his name is associated with love. The love Valentine would have declared that we all have first from God. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. All of these statistics are modern, 21st century statistics, the age of the computer, the age of social media, the age of science and technology, and yet we have not reduced these numbers. We have yet to reduce these numbers. Did not our capital city murders in 2018 surpass the number of murders in 2017? Most of those people knew the person they killed, and the person that died in most cases knew who killed them. Their deaths were not random. Their deaths were relational. Technology did not save them. Technology did not help them. If they made it to the hospital with the latest equipped ambulances, they could not be kept alive. Now, you might still be wondering where the Bible talks about technology. Two places come to mind, and there's a story here, Genesis chapter 4, first book of the Bible, where we read Zillah was a fifth generation from Adam. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, where we read, he forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. So there's technology. As you recall, Cain killed Abel. We assume that Cain killed Abel with an animal's jawbone because that's what Samson used in Judges chapter 15. But the Bible doesn't actually say in Genesis 4 what the tool of destruction was. But the use of this new technology of iron had to be addressed by God, saying in the book of Numbers, Numbers 35:16, if anyone strikes someone a fatal blow with an iron object, that person is a murderer. The murderer is to be put to death. One other place I recall where the Bible talks about technology, and here's the background. Israel was not a very powerful or rich nation, except during the reigns of the kings David and David's son Solomon. After they had died, the one kingdom was split in two, northern kingdom and southern kingdom. And at that time, Egypt and Assyria and later Persia were always threatening the northern and southern kingdoms. Egypt, Assyria, and Persia being much larger and stronger and more powerful nations, even empires. Much later, the Greeks and then the Romans took over. So in those years of weakness, the reigning king often considered, and sometimes did, make alliances with these stronger nations who had great armies to keep the other bully nations out. But the prophets had to warn those kings of the northern and southern kingdom. And the little title for Isaiah 31 says, "Woe to those who rely on Egypt. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude of their chariots and in the great strength of their horsemen, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or seek help from the Lord." Without going into too much detail, Egyptian chariots were a marvel of technology. They could turn on a dime, so you could change direction quickly. So just like combat aircraft, you could come up on your enemy's tail quickly and keep him off your tail. That was the Egyptian chariot. But the psalmist will echo the prophet's warning in Psalm 20, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Cavalry horses were the armored tanks of their day and age, horses in armor, placing the soldier 3 feet above the enemy infantry soldier. But for God's people, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And there were plenty of instances when God miraculously rescued his people who were without large numbers of soldiers. And even the children of Israel were civilians at the Red Sea with Egypt's army with chariots bearing down upon them. And God rescued them from the Egyptian army. Friends, we don't want to put our hope or trust in technology. The technology really isn't helping us. The technology is not making a dent in the statistics. Love has proven to cover a multitude of sins, we read in 1 Peter. And the late, great R.C. Sproul stated that although it is true that God's love in Christ does indeed cover our sins through forgiveness and sacrifice, that is, Jesus' love for us and his sacrifice upon the cross covers our sins, so we will not have to be punished. Dr. Sproul stated he, that is, in 1 Peter, is instead in context talking about interpersonal relationships among Christians in the church when we read, "Love covers a multitude of sins." He's calling us all to a double kind of grace toward others, says Dr. Sproul. He goes on to say the second kind of grace that Peter calls us to here is to not even bother to deal with every sin in a given relationship. Here on earth, because of Jesus, we are redeemed, indwelt, heaven-bound, but we still sin against each other. But Peter calls us here to not sweat the small stuff. Or as some might say, let it slide. But part of what R.C. Sproul is saying is that love is active. Daily. Love is always at work to improve the relationship, and love has to do that because we are still sinful human beings, capable of poor communication, capable of even poorer relationships, easy to offend and easy to give offense to. Love is needed here today, right where we are. As sinners, we can confess that with regard to love, we're just not very good at it. Not yet, anyway. But the Lord willing, we're getting better at loving, and we will get better at loving. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and everyone else, just as ours does for you. Amen.